We have two incredible stories for you today, and I mean incredible. I am not over-exaggerating at all. One, the World Health Organization now says it is highly unlikely that asymptomatic people of the virus that shut down the world is contagious, that can spread from asymptomatic people. Astonishing. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And then we're going to talk about also, and this is what I really want to hit, is the Minneapolis City Council members say they plan to vote to disband the city's police department. And that's going to be a veto-proof vote, which means it's going to happen. Ilhan Omar, or whatever her name is, was there, which is fascinating to me. And I want to talk about what it's going to look like for Minneapolis when this happens, for businesses, for civilization there, and some predictions that I have. Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show, sharing the show, tagging a friend, especially you guys yesterday on that show. Man, you guys shared it a lot. I really appreciate that. If you have not become a member of the Fight Laugh Feast Network, go over to flfnetwork.com, put an HTBT in a memo field. You'll get a sweet mug like this and tons of other great benefits. You can email me, Matt, at howtobuildatent.com. Find me on all the social media sites, including Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R. Yeah, that's what it is. Go over there, check it out. It's amazing how much of a voice you have when you're not being censored. That's all I can say. I get more engagement on Parler than all my other social media sites, and it's a fraction of the followers because I just got on there a couple weeks ago. Absolutely fascinating. All right. So the first thing, the World Health Organization. Now, the first thing that you might be thinking of is, why did we shut down the economy and lose 30 million jobs for this? Because of the Chinese propaganda World Health Organization. That's what they are. They do things that favor China. They will stick to talking points that China wants them to. They'll say things in a way that makes China happy. But it's more than that. Because you remember, they shut down. Governments shut down and quarantined the healthy. We did something we would never, ever do before. And we would quarantine the healthy because the asymptomatic would spread. You could be contagious and risk killing healthcare workers, risk killing the elderly, risk killing children, risk killing the dogs, risk killing the cats, risk killing everything. In the environment, even. I saw some articles about this. And it turns out now the World Health Organization is saying that you cannot spread it from this. Trillions and trillions of dollars wasted, 30 million jobs in the United States gone. But more importantly than all of those things is how many people have starved to death in third world countries because supply chains have been disrupted. How many people in Africa are going to continue dying because of the extreme draconian measures that our foolish government leaders imposed, listening to this foolish and incompetent organization, the World Health Organization, the Chinese communist propagandist. It's pathetically funny and it's devastatingly sinful at the other part of this because of how many lives died, how many people died because of this. And they will never be held accountable. These people aren't going to stand trial for murder, for manslaughter, global manslaughter. They're not going to stand trial for this. Are the Chinese going to pay for it? Doubt it. Doubt it. And this is the other thing that this is going to have an impact for, that they're not going to be held accountable for either, is the credibility of institutional expertise and institutional knowledge is gone. Do you believe anything anyone says anymore from an institution? There is a select few people that I trust, let alone institutions, where I could just say, I don't need to investigate every single detail before I buy this. Very few. And this is sad. And it's a consequences of our sin and our lying and our deception and the politics and the greed and the backroom deals and the the lies by omission, and all of these things by our media, by our health organizations, by our schools, by our government, by everybody. It's that societies cannot function efficiently. They cannot generate the wealth that they could if we lived in a society where we had mutual trust. And because sinful man made up these sinful institutions, made sinful decisions, the consequences now are that no one's going to trust anyone's information. And the problem is we need facts to make smart decisions. And if we have to spend so much of our resources, so much of our time fact-checking and debating whether this organization is telling the truth, or this organization is telling the truth, or is this a lie, does this seem right, I don't know, all of these things, it's an incredible amount of drain on the wealth of every society. Every society. And it's not something that's ever going to be restored overnight. It's not restored with an election. It's not restored with a new leader, with a new figure to follow. It's going to take a lot of destruction and a lot of doubt and a lot of shifting and a lot of redemption, a lot of revival. The only way out of this is Jesus, guys. The only way out of this. I was talking with somebody. I didn't even plan on talking about this. They were emailing me. He's a great listener. He contributes. He tweets. He retweets stuff. Really appreciate him. And he's like, there's so many cops that are getting discouraged by what people are saying about them, that they are all getting looped together, that, you know, how you say you can't judge a person because of their skin color. You can't generalize, but we can generalize police officers. And they're getting really discouraged by this. And then I just told him, and I want to tell you, is what do you expect? We're in a war. We're in a war. See, in a courtroom, you could expect to have fair arguments. In a debate, you could probably expect that. You can expect to have logical arguments made for and against a case, for and against an argument. But we are not in those battlefields. I mean, we are not in those stadiums. We are not playing those games. We are in a war. And it doesn't matter if it logically makes sense. It doesn't matter if it's mostly false. It's whose narrative is going to prevail. And the police are losing. The police are losing. And the police better expect it. They're not going to be in a courtroom where they're going to get to say their case and they're going to be able to, you know, submit their evidence and all of these things. The public opinion is a battlefield that they better wise up to and better fight. And the one thing I said too is this is partly the police's fault, and it's the policeman's fault in this way. And again, I remember, I think that a majority of police officers are not doing the things that they are being painted as. I think a majority of them are looking to do the right thing and all these things. But this is the fatal mistake that has brought this on them, and what they're all responsible for, every single one of them who pays a due, is your union who protects bad cops, that makes it hard to fire people that need to be fired. That's your fault. Now, it's not all your fault that a lot of these things get judged instantly from just one side, from one video, and then people take advantage of it and all this stuff, and they use it for their own political agenda. That's not your fault. But you can't give the enemy a foothold, because this is a battle. This is a war. You're not going to be able to win this based on facts alone. And that's the thing that even Christians need to understand, is that this battle is going to take more than just making the most coherent argument. I mean, obviously, it is by the Holy Spirit. It's God that needs to work. But you can't just expect to win the debate from logic and rational reasoning. That's just not going to work, guys. You need to stop thinking that that's what's going to need. That's going to be what it takes. It's not. Which brings me to my last story for the day. The Minneapolis City Council members say they're going to disband the city's police department. And a veto-free, or a, what did they, how did they call it? A veto-proof vote, which means it can't be vetoed. So the city, you know, the cities pay for the police officers. The counties have sheriffs and so on and so forth. The state has highway patrolmen. So it'll be interesting to see if they try to pick up the slack. But I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, it may happen. I don't know. But I don't think it's going to happen. This is what's going to happen, guys. See, every single business that's been rampaged from the riots, every single business that exists is going to leave the city. One of the things that is so appealing to America, besides our trade law, I mean, our patent laws, our trademark laws, besides the idea that you can have public or you can have private property, despite what the socialists want, is that we have a rule of law and it's consistent. And that if someone wrongs you, you can have that addressed. You can go to court and have you can have justice be done. And that idea might not happen all the time, but that it happens most of the time is far and away better than anywhere else in the world. Now, that's at the country level. What's going to happen at the city level is people are going to move outside city lines and the city is going to fall into anarchy. The wealth that is generated from business, the tax revenue, and everything else that is good in this city is going to leave and it's going to be left to the criminals. And all of the revenue that the city depends on for your water, for your power, for all of these things is going to be gone. That's all going to be gone. Anyone who can afford to leave the city is going to leave and only the poor are going to remain. Now, I don't know Minneapolis personally, so I don't know. I've never been there. I don't know what the state is right now. But from what I understand, there's a very strong Muslim population there. And what's going to happen with this vacuum? Because remember, there's no law anymore. If the police aren't going to be there, there's no law. There's no enforcement. And if there's no enforcement, then there's no law. So there's a vacuum created. And this is why it's interesting to me that Ilhan Omar was there. Is she's representing Muslims. And what's going to happen in this vacuum and what we've seen in London, what we've seen in cities across Europe, is that vacuum is filled by Sharia law. Where the police don't go in Europe, Sharia law rules. And the Muslims enforce their own society, their own laws, Sharia law. And that's my prediction, that that's what's going to happen. So go ahead and vote for the police to be removed. You're going to create a vacuum of wealth, a vacuum of resources, a vacuum of anybody who has any means to move out of the city. And it's going to be filled by Sharia law. That is my predictions. And you might be saying, well, we shouldn't have the police. That's not biblical. And this is a fallacy that, or this is not necessarily a fallacy, and maybe that's the wrong word for it, but this is an error that libertarians make, and I've talked about before, is you have to have a strategy and tactics to get to your goal. And this is going to be interesting to watch in one respect, because this is the libertarian dream, is no police force, do whatever you want as long as you're not harming everyone. But actually, it doesn't matter if you harm anyone because there's no one there to enforce the harm. As you can't, when a society has relied on an institution for so long, you can't just rip it out. Because societies crumble that way. If you think that the biblical model for today is to not have a police force, is to have individual citizens that have their own arms, that have their own rights to take people to court and to arrest people and militias and all that stuff, well, you need to build those things up before you take the police out, or you're going to have anarchy. And that's what we're going to see. And that's what businesses, wealthy people, middle class people are all going to flee. The anarchy, the disaster, the hellhole that Minneapolis is going to become. We're in a battle. We're in a war. And this is where the enemy wants to take us. They want to make our whole country what they're trying to make Minneapolis right now. Let's not let them. Let's be on prayer. Let's be repenting. Let's be preaching. Let's be singing. Let's be dancing. Let's be doing whatever it takes. That might seem a little funny. I should probably explain the dancing thing real quick. There's this study that when they study this, a sociological study where if there's just a group of people and one person starts dancing, people will look at him funny until the second person starts dancing. And then that's the momentum. The power is with the second person who makes the first person not look weird and strange, and then that's when the group start dancing with him. So that's what I mean dancing. I'm not talking about any. Guys. Let's fight. Let's fight, laugh, and feast, guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.